The New England Journal of Medicine has a potentially disturbing report from Japan of two little boys, one aged two, the other aged six, diagnosed with lung cancer, they're not related, whose mothers had cervical cancer. Genome sequencing found that the tumours in the kids, although they seemed very different from the mothers, were genetically related to their mum's tumour. The assumption was that cancer cells had spread to the boys as in the physical process of being born. Dr. Alison Brand is Director of Gynecological Oncology at Westmead Hospital in Sydney. Welcome to the Health Report, Alison.
Thanks for having me.
So have you ever heard of this before?
No, I had not heard of this before this, and I have to say it's virtually unheard of in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is the peak journal in medicine, to publish a case report. So you know that if they've published this case report, they've really examined the data very closely to verify that it's true. I think we have to believe some of it because it's been published in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Let me just divert from the core story here, which is about, you know, cervical cancer moving to the kids and going, getting to their lungs. What's this? You're a surgeon. I mean, you're a gynecological surgeon, do a lot of surgery. What's the story with gynecological seeding and surgery? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about that, whether in fact you can spread cancer with surgery itself.
Yeah. Look, the old wives' tale was that, you know, once you open up a belly then and let the air in, then the cancer just spreads terribly. And of course, we know that's not true. And that really came from the fact that when patients had operations many years ago, they found cancer, but then they couldn't do much about it. There was no chemotherapy or there was no radiotherapy. So really, this whole business of cancer spreading, surgery spreading cancer, is probably not true at all. We do know that cancer from the mum can sometimes cross the placenta and get into babies, but that's usually hematologic malignancies. Leukemia, that's right. Leukemia and other, and basically the babies then have widespread disease because it got into their bloodstream and then went throughout the body. This particular two case reports are really unusual because the it doesn't look like it came transplacentally or through the placenta. It looks like it came as the babies passed through the birth canal and landed in the lung, which is the kind of the closest place that the babies could, you know, breathe in some of the cells that were being were in the vagina as they passed through the birth canal.
And because of that, you wouldn't think it was human papillomavirus related, which is the cause of cervical cancer, because it was the actual tumor itself that got transmitted.
Yeah, that's right. Although, you know, we haven't often thought that cancer is catching, you know. I mean, I think that's the one thing we've said. You can't touch someone who has cancer and then catch it. And in many ways, you catch lots of viruses, and women can pass their HPV infections in some rare cases to their babies. And so this is unusual in that the cancer is really been caught from the mother, and that's highly unusual. I guess when we look at this, we have to look at, as we examine any reports, we have to say, is this biologically plausible? And I guess in rare cases, it is biologically plausible, although you mostly expect that the tumor cells on the top of tumors are really those ones that are often non-viable. And so I would say that, or not living, and therefore can't attach to something and grow there. But, you know, I think that the next generation sequencing that they have done here really suggests to us that maybe there is some truth to all of this, albeit rare, rare, rare.
Now, is it routine to screen for cervical cancer in pregnancy?
It is routine that patients should have had a recent screen prior to their pregnancy, and if they haven't, to have one done during pregnancy. What you have to remember, though, Norman, is certainly the first, the mother of the first patient had a normal cervical screen 7 months prior to delivering her baby, and it's important because she had a very rare neuroendocrine tumor, so a very rare type of cervical tumor that probably wouldn't have been picked up by screening anyway. But those are very rare tumors, and the vast majority of cervical cancers can be picked up by screening, and certainly are much better picked up by the new screening test that we have that looks at HPV presence.
And before we go, just tell us what, because the screening program has changed. It now happens every 5 years, if I remember rightly, and it's, you're checking for HPV. So women need to be, you know, just give us a very brief, because we're running out of time, outline of the screening program now.
Yeah. So it used to be that we looked at the cells on the cervix to checked to see whether or not they had precancerous changes. That had up to a 30% false negative rate, and therefore we had to screen more often to make sure that we didn't miss anything. Now we check by looking at what we call high-risk HPV virus, which is human papillomavirus, which is known to cause cervical cancer, and we check for that high-risk HPV, and because the test is so sensitive, then we only, if there's a negative test, we only need to do the test every 5 years. And I think the take-home message here for women who have are pregnant is that we shouldn't worry so much about giving your baby cancer from you. What we should really worry about is make sure that we prevent cancer in the first place by having regular screening and, if eligible, making sure your boys and girls have vaccinations.
Alison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.